In today's gospel, Jesus appeared to his apostles for the third time. This time it was a place in their place of their fishing business. Peter has returned to his old way of life, trying perhaps to forget the disastrous events of the crucifixion of his master. Six other disciples join him: Thomas the doubter, the two hot-headed sons of Zebedee, the faithful and loyal Nathanael, two others who are not named. What a frustrated and embarrassed men they were, that in spite of their fishing experience and skills, they could not catch any fish that night. This is because they've abandoned their real business and mission. They've acted contrary to Christ's mission, Christ's job that he gave to them. For today you will no longer catch fish. I will make you fishers of men. They were supposed to be taking care of the Lord's business, not their own. And so Christ comes to them, seeking to have them back in their jobs that he has hired for them, seeking to have them reapply, to start their jobs anew. And we can think, when we see a job being advertised, we're asked to submit an application, a resume. And so we try to submit the most impressive resume, because we know that it's by the most impressive resume that we'll be called for an interview. And then if we're called for that interview, we try to impress during that interview to show that we're the most qualified candidate to be hired for the job. Well, we can ask ourselves, what kind of interview and resume would you need in order to have to be asked to be the first pope? What type of questions would be asked you during that interview? Peter was interviewed by Jesus in today's gospel and asked three questions. Do you love me? His resume wasn't good. He had denied Jesus three times by a charcoal fire Holy Thursday night. Peter didn't find it easy to accept himself after that. That he had denied Jesus, had to accept to deal with that. That when the cock crew later that evening, Peter wept. That Pope Clement, who was ordained a priest by Peter, accounted that Peter had furrows in his cheeks, showing how bitterly he had wept that night, of how great his weeping was, that he had realized his failure, that he couldn't cope with it, that he could not accept it, and wept, that he had hit rock bottom, that you would not have to expect Jesus to even consider Peter for the position of looking after the flock. But Jesus could see in Peter's heart, know that he was the man for the job. Why? Because Peter was different than Judas. Peter grew through his mistakes, whereas Judas allowed his mistakes to conquer him. Peter reformed himself after his mistakes, but Judas was not man enough to reform himself. Peter knew what it was to be human. So too did Judas. But whereas Peter moved on from his sinfulness, Judas did not. Three times, Peter had denied Jesus by a charcoal fire on Holy Thursday evening. And now three times, by a different charcoal fire on this Easter day, Jesus asked Peter to look after the sheep. Jesus forgave Peter, had confidence in him to make him the first pope. But if you notice in the gospel, Peter never asked for forgiveness. And Jesus never explicitly says, I forgive you. It has nothing to do with forgiveness as we know it. That we say, oh, I'm sorry, please forgive me. But that's not it. That's not what happens here. It's something much deeper. That Jesus takes him aside and says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than all of these? And Simon Peter says, you know that I love you, Lord. So the key is not forgiveness. The key is love. That is what is meant here in this gospel passage for us to realize that every person born into this world has a deep and lasting hunger at the very center of their hearts, at the very center of their beings. And that hunger can only be satisfied by the love of God. That's why St. Augustine wrote, "Our hearts will never rest until they rest in you." It doesn't mean simply saying, "I'm sorry." It means that we have to love each other without asking for anything in return. Because what Jesus is reaching down to is Peter's inability to ask for forgiveness. And rightfully so. He was the leader of the apostles. He was the one who was going to lay down his life for Jesus. That he said he would do at the Last Supper. That the words of a simple little maid, he denied his Lord, his Master, his best friend. He swore and cursed. That he became, in his mind, unforgivable. That he was denying that he even knew Jesus. He was doing something that was intolerable. He had no right to ask for forgiveness because he had overstepped the boundary of betraying God himself viciously and in fear and distress. But God reaches down beyond whether we are worthy of forgiveness. That sometimes we think we should be worthy of forgiveness. We think, "I don't necessarily feel sorry, but I'm worthy of being forgiven." That's not what Jesus is about. What they understand, that they know forgiveness is a gift from God himself. That nobody is worthy of being forgiven. That if we say to our neighbor, "I forgive you," it raises us up higher than our neighbor. It makes us superior to them. That's not what God wants. God doesn't want to be superior than us. He wants to raise us up to his level. And that's what our lives are about, of being configured to Jesus Christ, having our lives look more and more like him, being raised to that level. And so God doesn't do that. Instead, he loves us. That's the way he forgives us. And as for Peter, why should Peter even think of being forgiven for such a crime as this? It's unforgivable to deny God himself, to deny the one you love most, to betray your own love. That this is unforgivable. And so what it is then that makes this such a great gospel? That Jesus reaches down to that basic yearning of every human being. That yearning can only be satisfied by the love of God coming into his heart with no conditions, no extra reasons of why you should or should not have this gift of love. That Jesus reaches down, as he does to each and every single one of us, to the deepest parts of our hearts, where the yearning for completion is born with us, stays with us, no matter how many sins. No matter how many betrayals, no matter what we do, there is that hunger of the heart. And Jesus, in his great generosity, forgets everything else, reaches down and says to Peter, says to each and every one of us, "Feed my sheep. I love you. I trust you. And now I ask you to take care of them for me." When Peter hears that, 3 times, he knows that there's something here more than forgiveness. It's that Jesus loves him, forgets everything except for his love for Peter, wants him to continue to be the one who would lead his church as the first pope. That this is the kind of forgiveness that we find here in this gospel. It's as if Jesus were saying, "It doesn't matter. You don't have to perfectly love me. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to cry out for my forgiveness. For I have loved you from the beginning. I will be faithful and true to that love for as long as we are together. As long as you keep turning towards me." That he shows the church is founded on the love of God. That doesn't ask that we ask for forgiveness. That God is ready to forgive even before we think of committing the sin. So great is his love for us. And that's the message today. That we don't have to go out into the world and say, "Now if you forgive and fall on your knees, then we will forgive you." No, that's not from God. That when we say those words, what we mean is this, that you've already been forgiven by God, who forgives and forgets, even before you ask Him. And now in gratitude you say, I too will join to feed your sheep. That it means I too will serve because you, God, are good and gracious to me. That I too will reach out to the people around me, serve them. Serve them so that they will know that God's love is unconditional and always goes out and asks for nothing in return. That despite our sinfulness, God forgives us, has confidence in us. That Jesus doesn't lock us in by the mistakes of the past or present. That we're given room to outgrow the mistakes of the past. It's why St. Paul goes and writes, for anyone who is in Christ, there is a new creation. That the old creation is gone, and there is now a new one here. That what happened to Peter can happen to us also, if we have faith to accept God's love and forgiveness. That Jesus forgives us in the sacrament of reconciliation, loves us after we have denied Him, after we have disbelieved, after we have given up, after we have sinned. That it takes an act of faith to believe in God. And it takes an act of faith to believe that God forgives us and loves us after we repent of our sins. That sometimes faith is the courage to accept God's love. The courage to accept God's forgiveness and acceptance of ourselves. That Peter recovered his faith after his despair. He was able to say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. We don't allow the past to overcome us like Judas did. Instead, Peter is our model of repentance and reforming ourselves, allowing the Lord to put us to work for Him again. So that's what we see Peter do after this gospel. He becomes that first pope, that leader of the church. Goes forth preaching the gospel, making his way to Rome. And when a persecution of the Christians breaks out in Rome, and the Christians tell him to flee the city to save himself, as he's on his way out of the city, he encounters our Lord carrying the cross. And he asks the Lord, where are you going? And Jesus replies to Peter, I am going into Rome to be crucified again. And Peter turns around and walks back into the city to face his own crucifixion, to face his own death and martyrdom, entering into that share of our Lord's passion, entering into that share of the work of redemption, rendering himself worthy of going to heaven. Let us compensate for our moments of weakness by genuine acts of love, compassion, and service. Peter was called upon to prove his love. If you love me, feed my sheep, tend to them. The risen Lord reminds us that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What do our present actions and activities say about our love of Christ today? Let us examine that this week. How can we better love our Lord? How can we better tend to His sheep? That the risen Lord accepts our apology, dismisses the charges against us, exonerates us of guilt, forgives all our weaknesses. He continues to challenge us to demonstrate our love for Him by faithfully, freely feeding His sheep, entrusted to our care. Let us tell our Lord, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And hear Him say to us, tend my sheep.